Hey Swifties, welcome to a brand new episode of Swiftie School, where together we walk Clown Ilya Street covering the latest news and Easter eggs from our fearless leader, Taylor Swift. I'm your host, Reagan Bailey, and it is enchanting to have you here. Now that we're out of the woods, let's get into today's episode.
It's another great day to be alive at the same time as Taylor Swift. Hello, everyone. How are we doing? How am I looking if you're watching on YouTube? Because I just got a new haircut. But more importantly, I got a new computer as well. Let me tell you, this has been the most expensive month, season, if you will, of my entire life. I feel like I am drowning in expenses. When I tell you guys, it's been one thing after the other. Maybe we could chat about it at the end of today's episode, but I am wanting to cover a few things today. I've got a list here in front of me. We're talking, I've got a new podcast editor. We've got my merch drop. Evermore just turned 3 years old. We've got updates on the Chiefs schedule, Swellsy themselves, Taylor's birthday, the Eras Tour film. I've got surgery later this week. And of course, an update on rep clowning, because what would it be an episode of Swiftie School without some rep clowning? So without further ado, you guys know the drill. Let's get right into it. First of all, I would be remiss if I did not start by saying, holy guacamole, I am just blown away. We have surpassed the 100K streams mark, and we are still rated the number one music podcast on Spotify for like the third or fourth week now, which is absolutely wild to me. And it told me that I really needed to rush the process of getting an official podcast editor, because your girl hates technology and technology hates your girl. Let me tell you a little story time here, because my computer, and the reason that I have not put an episode out the past week, is because I was working on the dustiest, crustiest, oldest laptop that was ever known to man. And I really can't speak poorly of her, because she did get me through literally the past 11 years of my life. A lot has happened. Me and that computer have gone through the trenches together. But nonetheless, I have a lot of issues with that computer, because at the time when I got it, it was like cool for a MacBook to have no USB ports. But that was dumb. Whoever thought that was a good idea at Apple, because I had nowhere to actually plug in my microphone or my camera or any of that. And then the other issue is that my computer could hold no charge. So because I only had one place to plug in my charger, I also had to unplug my charger in order to plug in an adapter to plug in my USBs for my camera and my microphone, so my computer would die within like 10 minutes. And I couldn't record an episode if I didn't have my computer fully charged and did not like take breaks or anything while recording an episode. My computer would die at the very last second, which was another reason why I couldn't make longer episodes. And some of you were like, hi, hello, my drive when I listen to you is longer than 20 minutes. Can you please make it longer? Well, no, I literally could not, because my computer was overheating. It was dying. I had no ports to plug in my stuff. So long story short, which is very on brand because Evermore just turned 3. Long story short, I survived. My credit card did not, because I had to bite the bullet and get a new laptop. And boy, have I been living in the dark ages. You guys are really keeping this from me. My computer is faster than lightning speed over here. And I am trying out something new. I would love your guys' feedback. I'm using the camera on the computer because I'm convinced it's like equally as good, if not better, than my actual camera. And if you've been watching any of the episodes on YouTube, you would notice this is yet another tech issue, that the videos are like half a second behind. There was a little bit of a lag, and I'm convinced that that was because, I'm not convinced, I know that that was because I am technologically not advanced enough to figure out how to like edit a lag like that. So anyways, I have an amazing new editor. Thank you so much to everyone who applied for this position. I went through several different candidates, found the very best one for this position, and I'm so excited to now be able to do not only longer episodes, but hopefully better edited and more cohesive and better quality episodes for you, which is just in time for everyone joining, whether you're finding me from Spotify or Instagram or whatever it is. So anyways, that was a very long intro to say, hey, hi, hello, welcome to the podcast. Let's just dive right in. Got a new computer, got a new podcast editor, and I also, if you're watching, you can see what I'm wearing right now, have new merch. Oh my gosh. Speaking of merch, let me give you guys a little background on the merch situation before I dive into Evermore, because you guys know I like to keep it raw and real around here. I've always thought I need to like call a website or something like Raw and Real with Reagan, but that just sounds weird. It sounds like a meat company and not a good girly chat time. So anyways, I digress. I want to talk about my merch because boy, has this been a learning lesson for me. I'm no stranger to the merch world, if you will. And I don't even like the word merch because it makes it feel like it's all about me when really it's about you and me, right? You know, merch, I've been doing merch for many years. I started my second page. If you've been following my birthmark journey, and if you're just running and you're like, what the heck are you talking about? I have a birthmark on my face. It's called the Port Weinstein. I used to talk about it a lot more, but honestly, I go through phases where it's very difficult for me to talk about because I am opening the door for judgment, or I feel weird like bringing attention to my appearance when sometimes I don't want the attention to be on my appearance or whatever it might be. So anyways, I've been talking about my birthmark a lot more recently because I'm getting surgery on Thursday. But again, that is not the point. The point is that I've been making merch for my birthmark community for many years, since like 2013, I think. And, you know, I don't really talk about that much because at the end of the day, my purpose for creating merch is not for me to make money. Obviously, that is a part of it, but it is so that I can help other people feel more confident or connect with other people, have a conversation starter through a sweatshirt or a t-shirt, whatever it is. And it's just fun to have something beyond the screen or devices to feel more connected with one another. So anyways, I'm no stranger to the merch world, but I had a lot of things that I needed to work through with this specific launch because I wanted to make the switch to my website and hosting everything in one place, which was a beast in itself, because I had to basically build out the store that you guys see if you go and check it out in shop. You'll see it's all under reaganbilly.com now. I used to have a separate website, reaganbillystore.com. It was very confusing. It was a whole thing. And now, just so you know, it's all hosted in one place. And I'm very proud of myself for doing that. Then I had to teach myself the whole new system. Then I had to figure out how I'm going to charge people for tax and for shipping and for all this stuff. Figured it out. It's been great. But then I made the grave mistake of offering both a discount and free shipping, which was so silly of me because I basically made $0. I also sent out some free sweatshirts to some Taylor Swift creators that I thought would enjoy my sweatshirt. And then people who have maybe gifted me something, I wanted to give them something back. So anyways, made $0, but that's fine. I am very excited for more people to know about the merch and to get it. And the most important part is that we all have something that we can wear at home, feel cozy, clown together. And speaking of clowns, it just dawned on me, I need something that has like a clown situation. Maybe it doesn't need a clown on it, but it could say something like, I always say Captain of Clownelia Street. That's actually my email signature. Very professional email signature. So maybe we could brainstorm together my next design that I come out with. I know you guys are wanting the Friendship Bracelet Crew in more colors. I'm wearing the violet, which is the only color that's currently offered, but I can definitely look into more. I just thought the purple was something fun and different, and I like it. That's a lot of babbling. I have been babbling quite a bit, and I want to switch gears. I want to talk about Evermore. And you guys, I have thoughts. I think they're going to be controversial thoughts. I've been on Instagram and TikTok the past couple of days. Obviously, everyone's been talking about Evermore. Evermore is having her moment before Taylor's birthday. And by the time this episode comes out, I think it'll be past Taylor's birthday and the Eras Tour film coming out. Not totally sure, but one thing at a time. Evermore just had its birthday. Just thinking about Evermore gives me whiplash from going from Folklore, my favorite album of all time, switching to Evermore, and just kind of like the era that this all happened in. We all know where we were when Evermore came out, but I feel like because of the timing and what was happening in life when Evermore came out, it just didn't really get its moment. And part of me, I absolutely love how Taylor dropped the albums back to back, and it gave me literally something to live for back in the COVID pandemic era. But I do feel like if Evermore was released later on, after Folklore had its moment to shine, that Evermore would have been more commercially successful. But nonetheless, obviously I did some research, I have some notes, and I think it's really funny. When I was looking up Evermore and looking up some of the statistics and things I wanted to talk about, I have a lot of like random things you probably didn't know about Evermore on my list to talk to you guys about, but I thought it was really funny. Wikipedia categorizes Evermore as indie folk, folk pop, alternative rock, and chamber rock record with country influences. Reread that for a second. Indie folk, folk pop, alternative rock, chamber rock record with country influences. That's a tongue twister in itself. It definitely encapsulates what Evermore is, but I thought it was kind of funny when you put it that way. I guess I never thought of Evermore having country influences, but I don't know, cowboy like me, sure. I have all of the songs written in front of me, and it's interesting. I was re-listening to Evermore today in the car, which truthfully, I rarely listen to Evermore, and it's not because I don't like the album. I just feel like none of the songs speak to me in the way that a lot of other albums speak to me. And I don't know, maybe I feel like I prefer Jackie Antonoff's songs with Taylor over Aaron Dessner. And if you're not familiar, pretty much every single song on Evermore was written, obviously Taylor, with Aaron Dessner. I don't know. I think the songs she does with Aaron Dessner, they're definitely very wordy. And I feel like more of her storytelling songs. But it's interesting. Like, I like Willow. I like Champagne Problems. That's a controversial one of me. I don't understand the hype of Champagne Problems. I do like it, though. And, like, I like Tis the Damn Season. I like Tolerate It. But, like, none of these songs are, like, ingrained in my brain all day long. That being said, there are two songs that if I were to, like, delete everything off the album and keep two, which I'm sure you guys can guess if you've been listening or follow me, is Right Where You Left Me and Long Story Short. Those are definitely my top two. If I had to pick a third, I would say Marjorie. I really do like Marjorie. And I think that's probably my favorite aside from those two on the album. I really liked this note as well. When I was looking up, you know, what do we need to talk about when it comes to Evermore? Just give you a little refresher. And I think this is a perfect way to describe it. Evermore blurs the lines of fact and fiction. And I think that's why Folklore and Evermore to me are so compelling, because Taylor does such a good job of, obviously she highlights left, right, up and down, that both of these albums, I guess she says more about Folklore, especially during the Eras Tour. She talks about it. She says Folklore was written during a period where she wanted to experiment beyond just writing about her life, and she wanted to play around with storytelling and fictional characters and all of that. And we know that little speech that she always gives. But I feel like for me, Evermore, more than Folklore, definitely gets a little blurry in terms of, like, is she talking about her real life? Is she talking about other stuff? I don't really know. It's up for interpretation. And that's the part that bums me out about Evermore, is I feel like a lot more people would actually appreciate that part of the album than maybe some of her other discography. Like, it's two very different people who resonate with, like, Shake It Off and Closure. Like, that's a very different audience and different age range / demographic. But nonetheless, all right, I promise you guys that in this episode, we would be covering things that you probably didn't know about the Evermore album. So let's get right into it. Little known fact is that Evermore actually broke the Guinness World Record in 2020. Why have I never heard anybody talk about this? And what it won for is that it had the shortest gap between two number one albums in the US Billboard 200. So the gap between Folklore and Evermore was 140 days, and that had never, ever, ever been done before. So Taylor is a Guinness World Record holder. Why has no one talked about adding that to Blondie's resume? Very little known fact in my book, because I've never heard about that, and I've heard of a lot of Swiftie facts. Also, why have I never heard about the theme park lawsuit that came along with Evermore? There is apparently a theme park. I'm not sure. I think it's called, like, Evermore Park or Evermore something. Nonetheless, it's called Evermore. And they actually had the audacity to send Queen Swift a cease and desist letter. This happened on December 29th, 2020. And I have to read to you guys. I got a total hoot out of this. It says, to which the singer's team declined to abide, replying, quote, if anything, your client's website traffic has actually increased as a result of the release of Miss Swift's recent album, which in turn could only serve to enhance your client's mark. I got a total hoot out of that. It's so true. I mean, really, did anybody think that the Evermore theme park had anything to do with the Evermore album? Absolutely not. And if anything, I'm talking about the Evermore theme park that we've never heard of. So there you go. She gave them free publicity. The more you know. Okay. And when looking at the awards in terms of Evermore and sort of the accolades surrounding it, in 2021, it did win the American Music Award for Favorite Pop / Rock Album. Kind of funny to me, because I don't really look, like we said in the beginning, about this being a indie folk, pop, alternative rock, chamber rock record with country influences. I don't know if I would necessarily say, like, oh yeah, this is a pop rock album, but I guess that's the category it falls in at the AMAs. So nonetheless, it did win the 2021 award for that. But in 2022, Evermore was snubbed of Grammy's Album of the Year. I'm not totally sure what album actually won, but I feel like we've talked about this before. I think it was like episode 2 or 3. Taylor's been snubbed a couple of times. This was her 5th nomination for Album of the Year, which really surprises me. I guess it doesn't in hindsight, because I feel like when it comes to Album of the Year, Taylor's albums, I feel like, often don't initially get the hype that they deserve. And I think the re-records have really helped boost her early discography, like 1989. That is really having a moment. And I feel like 1989 was like my peak Taylor, I don't know, intro to Taylor. Obviously, I was a fan before that. I liked Fearless. I liked Speak Now. But 1989 was like, she was really famous all of a sudden. And I feel like I don't even remember 1989 being that popular. Then again, social media wasn't really that big of a thing when 1989 came out. It was obviously around. But at the time, like, I remember watching about 1989 on like Ellen. I definitely didn't like watch it on Instagram or anything. So like watch the announcement of it. So I don't know. Thought that was kind of interesting. And then the last little tidbit that I'll give you about the Evermore album is that there were 8 tracks from Folklore still charting at the time of Evermore's release. So at the same time, 8 different tracks from Folklore were charting, and then 14 more songs from Evermore were charting. So she occupied at one time 22 of the top 50 positions on the chart, which was the 2nd most simultaneous entries in the chart's history. And the band that had done this before was Linkin Park. Very interesting. Would definitely have not thought it was Linkin Park. But I can't even keep track of her accolades at this point. I saw something hilarious the other day. It said something along the lines of like Taylor's 100th accolade of the day or something. I don't know. Maybe that's not that funny telling you guys now, but I'm like, this woman probably can't even keep track. I feel like whoever from Taylor's team is in charge of like writing up her daily report on like, here's how your discography, or here's how your music's doing today, or here's the awards you were nominated for today. They have a heavy, heavy task at hand. I am very curious, now that I say that, of how Taylor, like, does she have an email chain that she gets emailed to her every week? Here's the updates on what's going on in your life. It's like, it must be very, very out of body and strange experience to have so many people working for you and so little control of so much. I don't know how she does that or how she manages all of that. Anywho, again, this comes from Wikipedia, this next fact. So I definitely would be curious to know where they got these 2 pieces of information from, but I did find them interesting. It said that the 5th track, Tolerate It, was inspired by Daphne du Maurier. Not sure how to say that. Daphne du Maurier, we'll go with that. Her 1938 novel, Rebecca, which, again, what the heck? When does Taylor have time to read all of these old-timey books? I would love to know. But Tolerate It was apparently inspired by her book, Rebecca. And then Happiness has a lot of references to The Great Gatsby, which obviously was a 1925 novel by F. Scott Fitzgerald. I did not know that. And I was actually listening to Happiness earlier. And I feel like Happiness, to me, I did not realize Happiness was like a 5-minute long song, number one. But I feel like if you walked into the Swift verse with zero information, you knew nothing about how popular All Too Well is, I feel like you could say Happiness is definitely the same realm or style of All Too Well to me when I was listening to it earlier. But anyways, those are my thoughts on Evermore. Hope you learned something new. Who knew that there was a theme park named Evermore? Who knew that Evermore held a Guinness World Record? I didn't know. I didn't know any of this information, honestly. And honestly, I feel like Taylor doesn't even talk about Evermore that much. I was truly shocked that Evermore has such a long set during the Eras Tour because of how little Evermore is really talked about. But hey, I know that a lot of people are happy about that. Now, let's do a major, major, major gear shift. Talk about whiplash from Folklore to Evermore. I'm giving you guys whiplash because we're switching gears completely and I need to talk about the Chiefs. Now, listen, I get a lot of my Chiefs news source information from social media, so take it with a grain of salt. But my understanding as a newbie to the NFL is that the Chiefs have a really good chance of going to, are the playoffs going on right now? I have no idea, of going to the Super Bowl. And apparently it's because they've been losing so much lately, it's not looking good for them. Like, this is not good in terms of projections and probably people betting and all of that. But anyways, they do have 4 games on the schedule that are upcoming. So I want to walk you through those because we know how much Taylor absolutely loves Gillette Stadium. This is arguably, I would say, her favorite stadium in the US. We know this for many reasons, and I cannot think of any of those reasons off the top of my head right now, but she does love Gillette Stadium. I'll leave it at that. And the Chiefs on Sunday, December 17th, this upcoming Sunday, have a game against the New England Patriots at Gillette Stadium. I do think Taylor will attend that. If she's not busy this weekend, which I don't think she has anything going on. Obviously, she has the Eras Tour film coming out on streaming, but that wouldn't really require her presence anywhere. And obviously, she had her birthday earlier in the week, but I don't think that would interfere. So, would love to see her at Gillette. If you are a New England Patriots girly pop, definitely check in, pop in, grab a last-minute ticket. See if you could see our girl at what I would call her home away from home. And watch her man play there because that's so fun. And then we have two extra fun games after that. Maybe not fun, maybe fun for us, not fun for Travis or her. But on Christmas Day, December 25th, they have a home game against the Raiders, which my dad is a big Raiders fan. So yay, Raiders. That's on Christmas Day. Curious to see if Taylor would attend that or if they plan on spending Christmas together. I assume they would. Not going to speculate too much there because we know Taylor doesn't like us speculating about her relationship. But that would be cute and that would be fun. And a Christmas outfit would be so cute seeing that from her. And then we have another game on December 31st on New Year's Eve against the Bengals again at home. After that, we have like a week off, or Travis has a week off. And then they have a game on January 7th, which they play the Chargers in Los Angeles. Hello. I got so distracted. I was supposed to start recording this episode like an hour ago. And then once I saw that the Chiefs were playing Chargers in LA when I was doing the research for this, of course, I started looking up tickets to see how much they cost and if I'm free that day. And turns out I am. So I don't know. January 7th, again, she doesn't really have anything for the month of January. The only thing I have on my radar, and correct me if I'm wrong, you guys, definitely send in a message if I am wrong, is that she would have the Grammys, but that's in February, right? I get so mixed up with award season, but he does have a game on the 7th, and it is here in LA, and I would love to see her here, and I will definitely see if I hear there's a rumor that she's going to attend. I will try to get tickets, and of course, I will try to report back. My dream scenario, and I'm putting this on my vision board, and I'm telling you guys now, mark my words, I will be in a situation with Taylor Swift in the same room, and I don't want anything crazy from her. She doesn't owe me anything, honestly, actually. But what I would love, a photo, a selfie, obviously. But number two, I would love a video of me and her together and saying, it's another great day to be alive at the same time as Taylor Swift. Wouldn't that be so fun? Iconic of me and her together. And then I could use that recording of us saying it together as like the opening of the podcast. I love that. And I'm definitely manifesting that. I had a dream about her last night and that was part of it. So I'm putting it out there in the universe. 2024, me and my girl Taylor in the same room. I don't know why we would be in the same room. Perhaps I am consulting her merch team because they could use a little help. But it's been getting better, so I won't trash talk them now. But by the time this comes out, I will have had my birthmark surgery. So I thought I'd give you guys a little bit of info on that because I'm sure in my videos this week, you will be seeing a little bit about that. And it's important for me to, aside from the fun Swiftivities, to give you guys the real raw me. I can't say real raw me without thinking of meat now, and that's gross. And who likes raw meat? Not me. Maybe my cats, but that's besides the point. So I have a birthmark, like I said, and surgery is important to help reduce the excess blood in the malformed blood vessels that are on my face. Now, if you're watching on YouTube and you're like, what's happening? Or I don't see it. I'm wearing makeup right now. I don't wear makeup every day, but for me, sharing my birthmark journey has been a little bit relieving of my anxiety surrounding it because it's weird. It's weird having something on your face that A, looks like a bruise, and B, people assume you're abused, and that's awkward in itself. And then being a female and people thinking something's wrong with you or something happened to you is also awkward. And then people staring at you is awkward and not fun and uncomfortable. And no matter how confident I am, no matter how much I love myself, I will never get over the fact that it is very difficult to go through periods where I get really comfortable with the way that I look. And, you know, I feel confident and I feel good about myself. And then I experience some changes in my birthmark. I have to get laser surgery. And then I have to go through the process of having my face look super dark and super red and people staring at me and asking questions and all of that. And then it'll lighten a lot. And then I have to go through that weird period mentally where I'm adjusting to like, now it looks like I barely have a birthmark. And it's all weird and it's all strange, but I always like to just be honest about where I'm at in my life and what's going on with me. And obviously, Taylor Swift is so fun and brings us all together, but I'm a human at the end of the day. And just like so many of you, I'm sure you are going through things too. And this is just something that's going on in my life. So thought I would share because I also know I have a lot of younger girlies out there and it's really important for me to be an advocate and speak on the fact that you do not need makeup to be pretty. You do not need to have perfect skin to be pretty. You can have pimples. I had pimples for so many years, so many years. All over my face to the point where people called me pizza face. And I remember one of my most embarrassing moments of my entire life was speaking into a microphone in front of my whole high school. I used to host the pep rallies because I'm psychotic and I love weird situations like that. So I would host the pep rallies and I would get everyone excited, you know, whether it was like right before a football game or a basketball game, whatever it was. And I had pimples all over my back, all over my face. And this really mean kid, his name was Trevor. Trevor came running up behind me. I didn't know because I was holding a microphone talking to everybody in the auditorium. And he came up behind me and started acting like he was popping my pimples on my back. And everybody started laughing and I was so confused. I didn't know what was going on. And it was so mean. It was the meanest thing anyone's ever done. I was so mortified. And from that day on, I wore a jacket, never showed my shoulders again. And I was mortified. I think I eventually showed my shoulders, but I was embarrassed. And that moment really reminds me all the time that it's so important to never judge what other people are going through. And it reminds me to show the parts of me that are not perfect because we are all not perfect. And the more people that just put on display this perfect image of them, it's perpetuating a society where we feel like we can't be ourselves. And to bring it back to Taylor, if anyone's showed us what vulnerability can do, it can bring people together. And I love how Taylor has done that for all of us through the form of lyricism. And I hope to do that for you through displaying and showing the vulnerable and weird and raw and very Reagan parts of my life. So anywho, not to get a little emotional with you all of a sudden, but you guys are very important to me and I very much appreciate you being here. And I am so glad that we're just chugging along here with the podcast and that you guys enjoy it and support it each week, day in and day out. And I keep hearing so many stories of people saying, hey, my friend sent me this podcast, or I shared it with a friend and she loved it. And now my kids listen to it on the way to school or whatever it is. So I cannot thank you enough. Please, please, please make sure you submit via the form linked in my bio on Instagram or in the description of this podcast. Submit the form. Tell me what you want me to talk about next. A lot of you requested Evermore, so that is why we are doing this as the Swiftie submission episode for today. But I know we have a little bit of a lull period before the Eras Tour starts up again, and I would love to cover or dive into a lot of the topics that you guys want. I know one of the most requested podcast episodes is talking about all of Taylor's past relationships, and I'm a little hesitant to do that just because a lot of the information is speculation. Obviously, I could do like a list and talk about like the different time periods and the albums associated and stuff. But it's really hard to know because Taylor never explicitly says like this album is about this person. So I don't know. I'll think about it further. But anyways, I will leave you guys at that. Thank you so very much for tuning in. And of course, I will see you on the next one. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. I know all too well how busy life can be, and I am so grateful that you chose to stay. Now just know, this is me trying, and I would greatly appreciate if you took a minute to leave a review or maybe share this episode with a fellow Swiftie. Make sure you join my broadcast channel on Instagram for more Swiftivities. And long story short, this love is real, and I'm beyond grateful for your support. See you next time!